Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the Scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. Chapter 13 of Zechariah is our study this week, and this chapter is a continuation of the previous chapter, which was a continuation of the chapter before that. So chapters 11, 12, and 13 are one big discussion by Zechariah, and they're all about the Messiah, and that's not just my statement, my say-so. Chapter 13 starts with, on that day, which begs the question, which day? This is a continuation of chapter 12. The answer is found in the preceding verses, chapters 12 and 11, both of which, again, all three of these chapters speak clearly of the coming Messiah, the Christ, that is Jesus. In fact, chapter 13 has several on that days in it. So read with me about the in that day, then future coming Messiah. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, starting in verse 1. On that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land so that they shall be remembered no more. And also I will remove from the land the prophets and the spirit of uncleanliness. And if anyone again prophesies, his mother and father who bore him will say to him, you shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who bore him shall pierce him through when he prophesies. On that day every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive, but he will say, I am no prophet. I am a worker of the soil, for a man sold me in my youth. And if one asks him, what are these wounds on your back? He will say, the wounds I received in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire, and refine them as one refines silver, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Now, remember, this is a continuation of this, the discussion which began back in chapter 11, carries forward through chapter 12, 13, and actually even into chapter 14, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Chapter 11 is about the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, for it deals with the betrayal of Jesus by Judas to the high priest for 30 pieces of silver. Chapter 12 deals with the crucifixion of Christ, for they will look on him whom they have pierced. Now, chapter 13 deals with the moment of betrayal of Christ and what will follow after that. Now, remember, I'm just reading the text. So if someone wants to disagree with me, they're going to be disagreeing with the text. And this is important to know because there actually are many who disagree with me. Hence, they disagree with the text, which means that they disagree with God. They call themselves Christians, but they do not believe the Scriptures. May we be better than that. Now again, all through this chapter, Zechariah gives us on that day phrases. which means this is all of these are a continuation of the context. All these things are going to happen in this time frame, not necessarily specifically that day, but in that time frame, which started back in chapter 11. So even in this chapter itself, it gives us confirmation that this chapter really is about Jesus. For verse 7 says, "Strike the shepherd and all the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones." Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 30, for our confirmation. Hear the words of our Lord himself. Matthew 26. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Well, Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Now, everyone knows of Peter's impetuousness, his ability to speak in ways without thinking. I've heard many sermons about Peter's willingness to stand opposed to his rabbi in this situation, to stand opposed to Jesus. And Christians today, they're aghast that Peter would even ever think of doing such a thing to try to correct the Messiah, the Christ. But it isn't just the Messiah that Peter's opposing here. And I don't think I've ever heard a preacher teach this, but Peter is actually opposing Scripture. Think of it. Jesus tells his disciples that they will fall away, all of them. And then he quotes Scripture to prove that this will indeed happen. Specifically, he quotes Zechariah. And Peter's response is not just that Jesus is wrong. But instead, in essence, what he says is, Scripture is wrong. Now, I'm sure that Peter just wasn't thinking through what he was professing, as usual. But it's important to know this, for Peter's not alone in this stance. There are many today who repeat his sentiments. Zechariah cannot be fulfilled. This can't be right. Zechariah cannot be talking about Jesus in the past, prophesying about him. Zechariah has to be yet fulfilled for us. It hasn't yet happened. Why do people do this? Why the denial? And the answer is because of what's spoken here in this chapter, specifically prophecy. Now, in the beginning of the chapter, Zechariah speaks about the forgiveness of sins, salvation. And those are things that we Christians hold dear to. But in the middle, he says, prophecy. Prophets are going to be gone. Prophecy is going to be ended. And the significance of this chapter cannot be overlooked, especially in today's world of the myriad Christian churches and doctrines that are out there in the world. And people go, what's going on? Why do we have all these different churches and doctrines? Answer, it's because people don't actually believe the Scriptures. They say they do, but they don't actually. Just as Peter. There are no prophets of God today. Yes, I said it. And now that I have your attention about that, I'm going to prove it from Scripture. It's not my opinion. It's not my viewpoint. It's from what God says. And if you want to disagree, you are welcome to do so, but you're going to have to know that you're going against Scripture just as Peter was. So again, let me read to you from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 2, and listen to what God says about prophets. In this day, in this time period of Jesus, what is going to happen to prophets? "And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts," that means it will happen, the God in charge of the angelic armies, it will happen, "I will cut off the names of the idols from the land so that they will be remembered no more. And also I will remove from the land the prophets and the spirit of uncleanness. And if anyone again prophesies, his father and mother who bore him will say to him, 'You shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of the Lord.' And his father and mother who bore him shall pierce him through when he prophesies." So what does God tell us here? No more idols, no more prophecies, no more prophets. Now, again, there are some parts of this chapter that are difficult to understand. I'll give you that in a heartbeat. For example, the verse which Jesus quotes in Matthew, here, verse 7 in Zechariah, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones." Well, if the shepherd is Jesus, as he claims he is, the disciples would be the little ones, the sheep, right? Does God turn his hand against the disciples? Now, one might argue that this is indeed the case, for they abandoned the son, but there's no record of such an action. There's no verification that this actually happened. So what does it really mean? And honestly, I'll have to say I don't really know. Remember, it is Jesus who speaks of himself being the shepherd and the apostles as his sheep. I'm going to accept what Jesus says here about this situation. But to add on to this, to top it off, Zechariah speaks of 2/3 of the inhabitants of the land being cut off. What is that? That's, of course, now many people think this is a literal death because they don't see Zechariah as fulfilled yet. But the reality is revealed in the final sentences of that chapter. 2/3 of the land, the Jews, 2/3 of the Jews are going to be cut off. The third, the ones that carry on, they will be those who call upon the name of the Lord. That's Christians. And God says that they will be his people. That's Christians. And they will see that he is their God. That's Christians. Now, of course, this is coming from Jeremiah's prophecy as well in the New Covenant. We know that Zechariah is speaking of Christians, fulfilling not only Zechariah, but also Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. But here in Zechariah, no prophets, Zechariah says. But there's prophets in our New Testament, Scott. How can you say that there aren't any? Now remember, I'm not the one who said this. Zechariah did, not me. Jesus told us that this chapter is about him. Zechariah told us there would be no more prophets. And while I don't know all the particulars, some of the things are obvious, such as only 1/3 of the Jewish population becoming Christians, 2/3 rejecting Christ. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, Paul writes this, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away." Now, I know that there are many people out there right now, as they hear this, they're saying, well, that's future. That's not yet fulfilled. But remember, Zechariah said prophecies would stop. And that chapter is fulfilled in the time of Christ. To take that chapter and say it's fulfilled in Christ and it's 2,000 years into the future is ludicrous. It's ridiculous. Paul, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of Christ, so we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." So yes, I would readily recognize and concede there were prophets in the early days of the church. Indeed, you can read in the book of Acts, there's Agabus, there's Philip and his unmarried daughters who prophesied. Indeed, some of our New Testament is written by prophets. We're not used to thinking this way, but they really are. Men such as Luke, he was not an apostle. Who was he? He was a prophet. He wrote, he spoke for God. Mark, same thing. James, Jude. These were prophets. They took the message that was given to them by God. They wrote it down, and we still have it to this day. But we haven't had any prophets since then. How do we know this? There's multiple reasons to bear this out. It's not just what Zechariah says. Well, Scott says that Zechariah says. No. There's more to it than this. One of the things we know is that the early church fathers, they wrote that there weren't any more prophets. So you can go back and read their writings. They will tell you this. The scriptures tell us in the book of Jude, verse 3, that the faith was once for all delivered to all the saints, meaning we don't need more faith. We don't need more faith delivered to us. So we don't need more prophecy. Paul says that the scriptures equip the man of God for every good work. 2 Timothy. That means if we need more scriptures, the early church, the early Christians, they weren't fully equipped for every good work. We need more prophecy, Scott. We need more people to speak for God. If that's the case, then the early Christians didn't have all the faith. They didn't have everything they needed for every good work. As I just read in Ephesians, if we have need for more prophecies, then we're not able to be unified. And yet the book of Ephesians about being unified. So is Colossians. So is 1 Corinthians. These are in other books, the epistle of 1 John. These books are supposed to unify us, bring us together as one in Christ, as Jesus prays in the Gospel of John chapter 17. If we have need for more prophecies to be unified, how is the early church supposed to be unified? And yes, we are supposed to be unified. All these different little churches out there in the world today with all their different doctrines and all their different beliefs and all their different faiths, that's not Christ's church. That's not how Christ set up his church. That's not how the apostles set up the church. If we still have apostles today, why have we stopped adding to the scriptures? Why do we not have more scriptures? Now, not every prophet. Not every prophet wrote. But surely in the last 2,000 years, a prophet has had a message from God that's worthy of being written down, considered scripture, and added to the text, right? And yet, we don't have that, do we? Or maybe we should listen to the Mormons because they've claimed that they have prophets, or other groups like the Mormons. They claim they have prophets. Maybe we should add their books to the scriptures. If we still have prophets today, whose message is right? See, this is the other part. Whose message can be confirmed that their message is right? And again, remember going back to the scriptures, the faith once for all delivered to the saints, being equipped for every good work. See, we don't need new prophecies. What we need to do is read the scriptures and study the scriptures. We don't need more prophets. Zechariah was writing about the betrayal of Jesus. He was writing about what would come right after that, which is this. When Jesus is betrayed, when he's crucified, and we can read that at the end of the Gospel of John, for example, and the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus will say that all scripture's been fulfilled in him. We don't have need for more prophecies. In fact, you read your New Testament, and there's only one thing that's spoken of that is as of yet unfulfilled, and that is the return of Christ. He's coming back to take us home. He's coming back to redeem our bodies, and that is it. Judgment happens on the entire world. And there it is. There's not more. The study of eschatology, the study of the end times, people have come up with great, huge studies, and they misconstrue scriptures, and they even talk about Zechariah 11, 12, 13, 14. And they say, these are yet unfulfilled. And yet, every single one of these chapters of Zechariah have a prophecy that has been fulfilled by Christ already. That is very significant. That is very important to understand because all of these chapters are one big, long, continuous discussion about the coming Christ. Not just the coming Christ, but the betrayal of the Christ, the crucifixion of the Christ. These chapters deal with the coming Messiah. And to take those few verses and to divorce them from the context and say the rest of the context is about 2,000 years in the future, it's an absolutely ridiculous way to study the scriptures. Let us not be so foolish. Zechariah tells us that prophets will cease, and Paul tells us that prophecies will cease. And we all have need for unity. We all have need for good works. We all have need for the faith. We have all those messages in the scriptures already. We have all the word of God, as Peter tells us, that we may have all things that pertain to life and godliness. We don't have need for new scriptures to be written today. We don't need new prophecies. If we did, then the early Christians didn't have enough. They needed more, and they didn't get it. And if they didn't get it, then we don't need it as well. And if we don't need it, then we don't need prophets. What message is a prophet going to add today? What more will they speak? The only conclusion I can have is this. There are no prophets, just as Zechariah foretold, just as Paul foretold, in their own prophecies, of course, that prophets' prophecy would cease. So, conclusion. Today, please, don't be like Peter. Remember Peter? Peter's heart is great. His faith is great. His spirit is powerful. But without knowledge, he opens his mouth and he says, "Never will I leave you, Lord." even after hearing Scripture say that the sheep will be scattered. Listen to Zechariah and understand that today we have no need for prophets. God has given us all that we do need. What we need to do is study the Scriptures. Those who demand prophets today, they're opposed to God. Don't be like them. Those who claim that they're prophets today, I would say that they are deceivers and liars. And over again, I've looked at many prophets and their messages and heard them lying and deceiving. And what does the Scripture tell us? To not listen to them. Don't fear them. Listen to God. Listen to Peter in his letter as he has learned better from God what it means to be a Christian, to walk with God. Listen to what Paul writes for us. Prophecies will cease. Listen to what Matthew writes. He writes the words of Jesus where Jesus says, "This chapter of Zechariah is about me." Listen to Jesus. Follow him. Keep his word. Let me challenge you to let God be God and don't try to correct him like Peter did. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the Scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
All glory and praise to the God of all praises,
who brought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Revive us again. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. Revive us. Revive us.
Yeah.